Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, you died on the cross out of love for us. You rose again from the dead to give us the joy of your resurrection, to show us the way to heaven, to open it up by your death. You are truly our hope, and you have wanted your mother to share in that great mission of helping us get to heaven, of being there for us as our mother, as our hope. And you entrusted her to the apostles, to Saint John at the cross, to all of us. Behold your mother. And when you ascended into heaven, you told the apostles, go out to all nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They were given that great mission to go out to all nations, to spread the church, to spread your word, your love, your truth. But they felt so inadequate, so helpless. They were just fishermen and a tax collector. And what did they do? Saint Luke tells us in the Acts that they went to the upper room and they prayed together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the holy women. And Lord, your mother was their hope, just as she was on that holy Saturday before your resurrection. They were discouraged, and Mary was praying with them and for them, assured that you would rise on the following day. And in that dark Holy Saturday, she was the light, she was the hope, and she has always been our hope. She is that supplicating omnipotence. She is our mother, and earthly mothers do everything they can for their children, but they're not omnipotent. They can't cure that child of an incurable disease, but Mary shares in your omnipotence. And so the church always calls her supplicating omnipotence. We see the power of her intercession, for example, at Cana. The wine had run out. The couple were embarrassed. And Mary sees the need, feels sorry for that couple, intercedes before you and says, they have no wine. And you answer, what is that to me and to you? But Mary knows that you can do a miracle, even though you have not done one before. She knows you are God. And so she says to the stewards, do whatever he tells you. They fill those water pots to the brim. And Lord, you change that water into wine. And not only into wine, but the best wine. Because Mary interceded before you. And this is that strength of her intercession. And as Saint Alphonsus comments, why are the prayers of Mary so highly regarded by God? Let us remember that the prayers of the saints are the prayers of his servants, but the prayers of Mary are the prayers of his mother. This is the reason for their efficacy and authority. Since Jesus has an incredible love for his mother, he responds to her every request. To go deeper in our understanding of Mary's importance, we need only turn to the Gospel text. The wine failed at the marriage feast of Cana. The bridal party was at risk of great embarrassment. No one asked Mary to become involved, to seek her son's assistance. Here we see the heart of Mary, quick to respond with sympathy for the family. She takes the task of intercession upon herself. Acting on her own initiative, she asks Jesus for a miracle. If this was her way of acting when no one had asked for help, what will be her response to those who pray for her intercession? And Lord, she is our hope. Help us to pray to her for her intercession. We know that she can do anything because she acts before you and you don't say no to your mother. And we can say that memorare, which fills us with hope. Remember, O most blessed Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your aid, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Filled, therefore, with confidence in your goodness, I fly to you, Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petition, but in your mercy hear and answer me. We go with great confidence to Mary, reminding her that never was it known that anyone who fled to her protection was left unaided. And throughout the ages, we see the power of her intercession. We see it, for example, at the Battle of Lepanto, when the Christian navy set forth under Don Juan of Austria to confront the much more heavily armed, much more numerous in ships and soldiers, Turkish navy. The Turks, as we remember, had taken Constantinople in 1453. They dominated the Mediterranean, and they were threatening even Rome. And Pope Pius V asked the Church to pray the Rosary to Our Lady under the title Help of Christians, that that Christian navy could defeat the Turks. On October 7, 1571, in the Gulf of Lepanto off Greece, that battle was fought, although heavenly outnumbered, the Christian navy was victorious. The Pope then instituted the Feast of Our Lady of Victories, which the following year was changed to Our Lady of the Rosary, and it's still being celebrated on the 7th of October. Praying to Our Lady, Help of Christians, that naval battle was won. Later in 1683, when Vienna was besieged by the Ottoman Turks, the Pope of that day, Pope Innocent XI, asked the Church to pray the Rosary again to Our Lady under the title Help of Christians. The battle against again overwhelming odds began on September 8th, when we celebrate Our Lady's birthday. It lasted 4 days, finished on the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And again, the battle was won, and the might of the Turks would never be a threat to Christendom. Then in 1804, Napoleon Bonaparte was proclaimed Emperor of France, and immediately he began to persecute the Church. Pope Pius VII excommunicated him, but in 1809, Napoleon entered the Vatican, arrested the Pope, and carried him off in chains to Fontainebleau, where he was held prisoner for 5 years. The Pope managed to communicate to the Church his request for all to pray to Our Lady, Help of Christians, for his release. And he promised that if he was released, he would institute a feast in honor of Our Lady under that title, Help of Christians. And once again, with the prayer of Christendom for the Pope's safe deliverance, praying the Rosary under that title, Help of Christians, on the 24th of May, 1814, Napoleon abdicated, and the Pope immediately set forth for Rome. As his first official act, he proclaimed the feast of Our Lady, Help of Christians, to be celebrated on the 24th of May. Lord, this is the power of your mother's intercession, and we go to her with all confidence. She is our hope. She is help of Christians. We go to her in all of our needs. She not only is our intercessor, she shows us hope herself. When the angel told her that she would a virgin conceive, she had that hope, that certainty, that trust in God that this would come to pass. And she did conceive, and 9 months later she gave birth to you. When they went to Bethlehem, she had the hope that they would find some lodgings in which to give birth. And even though it was a stable, that hope was fulfilled. And then Joseph awakes her in the middle of the night to flee into Egypt. And they flee in that trust in God, that hope that they would be safe. And finally they arrive in Egypt. Then you are lost in the temple at the age of 12, and the hope of finding you, that assurance that God would be with them, and they found you on the third day. Throughout Mary's life, she lives hope. She trusts in God. And hope is that firm expectation of a difficult good not yet possessed. And when we have so many hopes, so many needs, we can go to Our Lady. She is help of Christians. She is our hope. She is supplicating omnipotence. We pray to her, and she will come to our rescue, as she always has throughout history. We think of her coming at Guadalupe in 1531, when the Franciscans were trying to convert the Aztecs with little success. And then Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego, and in the following years, millions of Aztecs were converted to the Church. This is the power of Mary's intercession. We see her in the 20th century, after Our Lady had appeared at Fatima and asked the Church to pray for the conversion of Russia, and those walls of communism came tumbling down towards the end of that century, and undoubtedly because of all of the prayer that went up to our Lord, the rosaries for the conversion of Russia. And then on the 13th of May, 1981, that attempted assassination of John Paul II on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and he was spared. And he would comment later that Our Lady's hand was stronger than the assassin's bullet. Mary, this is your power. Lord, this is the mother that you have given us. She can work miracles. Let us pray to her with confidence for all of our needs, those human needs, for the health of somebody who is sick. And we go to Mary, health of the sick, help this person to get over that illness. We pray for the dying, that they may have a holy death, that they may repent at least on their deathbed. And we pray to Mary, Mother of Mercy, Gate of Heaven. When there are issues in families of strained relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children, or brothers and sisters, Mary is that mother of the family. And as she interceded for that family at Cana, that wedding couple, she will be there praying for all families to restore harmony. Whatever suffering we may have, and we will have sufferings ourselves, we do have difficulties in life, but we go to Mary, comforter of the afflicted, help of Christians, our hope. Help us. Financial needs. So many different issues. She says to Juan Diego at Guadalupe words that are consoling for us in all of our needs. She says, listen and let it penetrate your heart, my son. Do not be troubled or weighed down by grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? And Mary, help us to come to you in all of our needs, knowing that you are here with us, as you were with Juan Diego and all of those millions who were converted, and he was concerned about the health of his uncle who was dying. God spared his life through your intercession. In all of our needs, we call to you. We fly to your protection, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, as we say in the Hail, Holy Queen. And we go to you too for all of those more important spiritual needs. So many people who really don't believe, and we pray for their conversion. How many souls have you brought back to God, to your divine Son, when people prayed to you? You suffered at Calvary along with Jesus that all might be saved. Your desire too, like his, is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you always intercede for sinners. You are refuge of sinners, mother of mercy. In my many years hearing confessions in St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney, I had an experience that apparently Cardinal Freeman also had. That I would be sitting there, and on some days, I would notice there were far more confessions, or perhaps far more significant confessions of people coming back after a long time, or with greater sins, and I would wonder, what is going on? And then I would remember, this day, or perhaps the following day, was a great feast of Our Lady, and Mary, you were bringing sinners back. You do that. You want them to be saved. You want them to come closer to your Son. You are truly refuge of sinners. And when we ourselves or someone else is lukewarm, we go to Mary. And as St. Jose Maria writes in The Way, love for our mother will be the breath that kindles into a living flame the embers of virtue hidden in the ashes of your indifference. Those embers are there, but we go to Mary. Mary, enkindled in me that fire of love. I'm flat. I'm lukewarm. I'm cold. Bring me back to life. Bring me back to that love for your Son. And you will always do that. You are Queen of all saints. And then to pray for more faith. And sometimes our faith is lacking. We wonder, what is the solution to this problem? And Mary, you are the solution, because you are help of Christians, comforter of the afflicted, most powerful intercessor before your Son. And you believed yourself that you could conceive, and Elizabeth praised you for your firm believing. Mary, increase my faith. Help me to believe as you did, to believe in the impossible. All these intentions that I have, that I wonder, how could they possibly be fulfilled? We fly to your protection, knowing that you will intercede. There is always a solution. And then if we don't know how to pray, and our prayer is flat, it doesn't seem to come from the heart. We go to you who ponder these things in your heart, as St. Luke tells us twice. You will show us how to pray. Mary, help me to pray better, to pray more. Or when we don't want to live that spirit of penance, we're reluctant to take up the cross daily and follow your Son. You stood beside the cross. You, that gentle mother, that beautiful woman, knew what the cross was, what sacrifice was. Help me not to be so soft, so comfort-loving, but to pick up the cross daily and follow our Lord. Or when we are so filled with pride, filled with ourselves, we fly to you who are that model of humility, the handmaid of the Lord. And you praise God in the Magnificat because he looks graciously upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Mary, you are the most exalted of God's creatures, and you regard yourself as the lowly handmaid. Help me to be more humble. And when we are struggling to live chastity, which is always a difficult virtue, before marriage, in marriage, or in the celibate state, we come to you, Mother most pure, Mother most chaste, Mother inviolate, Mother undefiled. Help me, help all those others who are struggling to live this virtue. And when we are reluctant to accept the will of God or to do the will of God, we come to you, the handmaid of the Lord, who when you were visited by an angel on behalf of God to announce a new direction in your life, a direction which was going to involve sacrifice, without hesitation you answered, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." Mary, help me, help all to do the will of God, to accept the will of God, especially when it involves the cross and sacrifice. How powerful you are, how good you are. Charles Péguy, the French poet, at one stage in his life was going through a very difficult time, and he found it difficult even to pray. And he writes, "Our Lady saved me from despair. This is the greatest danger. People like us have faith and quite a bit of charity. It is hope which can be lacking. See how for 18 months I could not pray the Our Father. I couldn't say, 'Thy will be done.' I couldn't say it. Do you understand what this means? I couldn't pray to God because I could not accept his will. It is terrible. One cannot recite prayers only with one's lips. One has to be able to say truly what he says. And I could not say truly, 'Thy will be done.' Then I prayed to Mary. The prayers addressed to Mary are reserved prayers. There is not one in the whole of the liturgy, not one which the most miserable sinner cannot say truly. In the mechanism of salvation, the Hail Mary is the last resort. With it, one cannot be lost." And Lord, help us to say the Hail Mary, in which we remind Mary, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death." We feel ourselves so lowly. We are just sinners, but she is the Mother of God, and we ask her, "Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Be there when we die to put in that good word for us as Gate of Heaven, as Mother of Mercy." How confident we are in Mary's intercession. Pope John Paul II, in a general audience on the 2nd of May 1979, said of Mary, "She reveals salvation, brings grace closer also to those who seem the most indifferent and the most distant. In the world which together with progress manifests its corruption and its aging, she is unceasingly the beginning of the better world," as Paul VI put it. "To modern man," the late pontiff wrote, among other things, "the Blessed Virgin Mary offers a serene vision and a reassuring word, the victory of hope over anguish, of communion over solitude, of peace over agitation, of joy and beauty over boredom and nausea, of life over death." This is Mary. This is our Mother. She offers us the victory of hope over anguish, of communion over solitude, of peace over agitation, of joy and beauty over boredom and nausea, of life over death. And we conclude with these beautiful and well-known words of Saint Bernard in a homily. You, whoever you are, who find yourself in the rushing torrent of this world, do not take your eyes off the brightness of this star if you do not want to be overwhelmed by the squalls. If the winds of temptation rise, if you are in the midst of the reefs and shoals of tribulation, fix your gaze on the star, call upon Mary. If you are tossed by the waves of pride, of detraction, of ambition or envy, look at the star, call upon Mary. If the billows of anger, of avarice or lust batter the tiny ship of your soul, look at Mary. If you are troubled when you think of the enormity of your sins, humiliated when you look at the filthiness of your conscience, frightened when you think of the judgment, and you are about to sink in the depths of despondency or in the abyss of despair, think of Mary, call upon Mary. Let her name be always on your lips and the thought of her always in your heart. And in order to obtain the benefits of her intercession, do not turn away from the example of her virtue. If you follow her, you will not go astray. If you call upon her, you will not despair. If you think of her, you will not be lost. If she takes you by the hand, you will not fall. If she protects you, you will have nothing to fear. If she guides you, you will not give up. If she shelters you, you will reach safe harbor. Then you will experience in your own life the truth of those words, and the name of the Virgin was Mary. And Mary, as we finish our prayer, be there for us. Be our mother. Be that powerful intercessor that you are, supplicating omnipotence before God. Help us to love you. Help us to come through you to Jesus. We go always to Jesus through Mary. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.